Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I never mind when somebody else is being bawled out. It really doesn't affect me. In fact, if someone's done something really bad, I kind of smirk and say, good, I'm glad they got caught. Now, I know that's not a good thing. And I'm sure none of you have ever felt that way. I remember in my childhood, I attended churches where we would kindly call it hellfire and brimstone, where the preacher would get up and just blast the congregation and everybody'd say amen. Well, because a lot of the things that they spoke against were not anything that was experienced by the congregation. So you could say, you know, give it to them. But I don't like it when my faults are pointed out. And I don't like it when I can see myself in the scripture. I remember one time preaching up a storm, and I felt so good about it. And people after church, this was in my previous church, came up and said, didn't like it. And I thought, oh, good. I really got through to them. Except that in that next week, I started to experience the things that I was preaching about, and I did not like that. Because it was as if the Spirit was saying to me, not as if, but it was the Spirit saying to me, you got to practice what you're preaching. Now, when Jesus was telling the story today, he was bringing the people that he was telling it right into the story. They were hooked. Now, these were religious leaders. These were the people of wealth, of position. And he was telling them a story that they could understand very readily. This was not a story to the common folks, because they would not have understood about a landowner, because most of them lived from hand to mouth and lived paycheck to paycheck. But the people he was talking to were people of wealth who would have understood about someone buying land, someone establishing a lovely vineyard, and then being absentee landlords. That was a common occurrence with people who were of wealth, of any kind of means in those days. The Roman Empire was far flung, and many business people would travel for many miles. So it would not have been unusual for someone to build a vineyard and then leave and expect that the tenants on that land would cultivate the land, and in appreciation for having some work, some income, that they would give the tenant his due, the land owner his due when he returned. So he brings them into this story about this landowner. And apparently the landowner had tenants who worked the land, and when he sent his emissaries to collect the rent, the tenants brutalized those slaves. And so he sent more. And then he thought, well, now I will send my son. I will send someone whom they will respect because he will be of my family, and certainly they will take care to do what they're supposed to do. And so he tells them that they killed the son. Now, these people that were listening to this were so involved in the story that when Jesus said, what do you think the landowner's going to do when he gets to town? And he said, they'll put those miserable wretches to death. And then Jesus says, you know, I'm talking about you. And all of a sudden, they were not too happy with the story. In fact, at the end of the story, it says they looked for a way to arrest him, to use their power. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was not a criminal. But they were so angry with that story that they wanted to arrest him. And he said to them, the kingdom of God is going to be taken away from you. That's pretty harsh. And he said, it's going to be given to others who bear fruit. Now, why would Jesus say something like that to religious leaders, to people who were trying to keep Judaism alive. People who were the ones that would be in the synagogue all the time, good religious folks. He said, the kingdom of heaven is going to be taken from you. He said that because the people of that time, the religious leaders, were looking for their own needs and not the needs of the people around them. They were not working for justice. They were not working for the common person. They were not reflecting the grace and the love of God. And Jesus said, the kingdom's going to be taken away. And so often the Christian church looks at that and says, well, look at that, it's ours now. And we're the ones, and you know, he took it away from you. But I don't think that's what Scripture's talking about. I think it's a warning to every church who names the name of Christ. Scripture is alive. It's not just a historical record of what happened way back when, so that we can sit back and say, we're the heirs. It's a warning to the Church of Jesus Christ in this day that the kingdom can be taken away. Now, why would that warning be echoed? Not because God is such a stern taskmaster, but because God so loves this world, and the work that we do is so vitally important. There's people who have lost their way. There's people who are suffering. There's people who are in abject poverty. There's people all over this world that need to know the grace and love of God. And if we don't do it, God will give it to somebody else to do, because it's so vitally important. The grace and the love and the mercy of God. When churches close, I find it very distressing. And I have told the denomination I will never go to a church to close a church. Some pastors will do that. I will not do that. Because there's such a need in every community for God's grace and love. And he gives us that privilege to be his hands and feet. But nobody is given a free ride here. He's saying to us, if you want the kingdom of heaven, then you have to do what I've asked you to do. To speak the words of grace and peace to those around us. We were talking in the joint board the other day about who we are as a church. And we said, we are the church of the open door, and the open door swings in and it swings out. So when we leave this place today, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. We bring that message of grace. We bring that message of justice. We bring that message of freedom everywhere we go, because it's so important. I am sure you can count in your life how many people need to hear a message of grace today. How many people are so under it physically and mentally and emotionally that need to have somebody to say, you're loved. What was Christ's criteria to these Pharisees? He said to them, I'm going to give this kingdom to somebody who will bear fruits of God's grace and love. And if those Pharisees had said, we've been on the wrong path and we're going to turn around, the kingdom wouldn't have been taken away. It's the same for us today. It is so vitally important to be God's people today. It is so vitally important to spread this message of grace and peace. How many people need to hear that they are loved by God in this community? We don't have to go far to find somebody hurting. Jesus said to do his work while we have the opportunity. And we are the church of the open door. And I hope that you who have come to this open door today experience that. And I hope that when you leave this open door, that you'll bring that message to the people who are outside this church. That Jesus is love. That all who are hurting can find rest and peace in Christ. One day, over 30 years ago, I walked into a little church and I was hurting and I was in pain and I did not know where my future would be. And the arms of Christ came around me in that little church. The kingdom of God is so vitally important. You are so vitally important to his work. Let us be his hands and feet today. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of speaking your words in this community. I thank you for the privilege of being your hands and feet. And Lord, I ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will make us each today your hands and feet as we seek to bring healing and love and blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.